Is released downstairs.
Well, good morning. I guess we better get the sound tested here. I was telling a couple of the men this morning that my wife and I took a little bit of a journey. We arrived home earlier this week. And part of that journey took us down to Kentucky to where the Ark was. How many of you have been to visit the Ark at all? You know, the big boat that was built? And then we went on to Branson, Missouri. And how many of you have been to a Sight and Sound Theater? Some of you have. Well, this was, Samson was playing. When we look at the Ark, it's an impressive sight. The size of it, when you're standing underneath it, unbelievable, even inside, the massiveness. And God chose, because of man's sin, to destroy what he had created. But the scripture says that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. It was in the heart of man to do evil continually. But the scripture also says that as in the days of Noah, so shall it be before the coming of the Son of Man. I believe we're getting closer and closer to seeing our Lord come back. God's grace is sufficient. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and we know that he was found righteous. And we heard already this morning that we are clothed in the righteousness of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He was made sin so that we might be made righteous. In the play of Samson, God's grace again was very evident in his life. I don't know how many of you would have put Samson in the book of Hebrews in the honor roll of faith, but God did. Although he failed miserably in many cases in his life, although he was set aside as a Nazarite, a Nazarene in that sense, no wine, no strong drink, didn't cut his hair, God in the end used him for his own glory. Sometimes we have to raise the bar, even though you and I know we will probably never attain it, but at least that we might learn through what we need to learn. And so this morning, I want to touch upon a subject, the subject of be ye holy, the holiness of believer. Let's pray. Father, this morning as we consider your word, we thank you that it is there to teach us, to cause us to live a life that is pleasing to you. Father, we also know that apart from you, we can do nothing, for the life that we live is in Christ. Without Christ, it is impossible, but with Christ, we can do all things. And so, Father, I pray that you would take each one of us, even though we know we fail, and we fail miserably, we can reflect back on our times when we have disappointed even one another. But Father, we pray that you would take us now and give us a fresh glimpse of not only your holiness, the holiness of Christ, but how you expect us to be holy. And so, Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Probably not a subject we would hear often, but I was intrigued with the memory verse this morning that you were studying, and I'm going to read it afresh this morning, as you've already heard it. But I'm going to begin reading at verse 12 of Hebrews, or Philippians chapter 2. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Think you can do it on your own? Nope. It is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. And then it says, do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. When you look around us, do you see a crooked and perverse generation? I believe we do. They're not without hope, because God's day of grace is still here. And then it says, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. A very applicable verse, I believe, to our subject this morning. Realizing that we need to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling in Christ. God expects from us to be holy. Be ye holy, for I am holy, he says. I want to look at the holiness of the believer in the sense of in our calling. In our calling. And there are four areas. We are elected to holiness. The Bible says we are called to holiness. The Bible also says we are created in holiness. And fourthly, we are possessed by holiness. Let's look at the scriptures that deals with this. First of all, the elected to be holy in Romans chapter 8, beginning at verse 26. Romans 8 and 26. I always feel that the scripture is the one that's going to teach us the most, and the Holy Spirit can use these things for his honor and for his glory. It's not what I say. Not what I say. So Romans chapter 8, verse 26 begins, likewise, the Spirit who helps our infirmities. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he, searching the hearts, knows what's in the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. For it is God who works both in you to will and to do. The Holy Spirit knows what we have need of. And I was reading back in your bulletin board there some things about the Holy Spirit and those sheets on the outside wall. But it is he, Christ, who makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So it is a triune God that works for us. It's not ourselves. Verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. It is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. It is God who calls according to his purpose. 29, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, for him to be the firstborn among many brothers. By whom he predestinated, these he also called. And whom he called, those he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Truly, he who did not spare his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us some things? It's not what it says, is it? All things. Do you think that God would expect us to be holy? We're called to holiness. But yet I know, apart from Christ, apart from the Holy Spirit, apart from the will of God, we cannot be. And yet he has given us freely all things. So we are elected to holiness. We are also called to holiness. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Beginning at verse 1. First 8 verses. For the rest then, my brothers, we beseech you and exhort you in the Lord Jesus, that as you have received from us, received what? How you ought to walk and to please God. Going back to Philippians, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. And here we read how you ought to walk and to please God. So you would abound a little bit more. No. Abound more and more. God freely gives us all things so that we can please him and to abound more and more. For we know what commands we gave you by the Lord Jesus, for this is the will of God, your sanctification, for you to abstain from fornication. Sanctification means to be set apart, to be wholly set apart. All the utensils and all the things in the temple and the tabernacle were sanctified. They were holy, set apart unto the Lord. You and I are set apart unto the Lord. Samuel, remember Samuel? Hannah gave him back to the Lord. And he became the high priest, the priest that dealt with Israel's first king. Samuel honored the Lord in his life. Mind you, his sons were a bit of a problem. But needless to say, when God sets aside something for himself, he sanctifies it so that it is holy to him. Verse 4, each one of you to know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. Not in the passion of lust, even as the nations who do not know God. Not to go beyond and defraud his brother in this manner, because the Lord is the avenger concerning all these, as we also have forewarned you and testified. For God has not called us to uncleanness, but in sanctification. And who is the sanctifier? Isn't it the Lord himself? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to do what? To cleanse us from all unrighteousness. All our righteousness are filthy rags. But his righteousness cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Therefore, he who despises not does not despise man, but God also, who also has given us his Holy Spirit. So we are elected to holiness by God's grace. We are called to holiness through the Lord Jesus Christ. Thirdly, we are created in holiness. Ephesians chapter 4, 24. Ephesians 4, beginning at verse 17. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord that you should not walk from now on as other nations walked. And how did they walk? In the vanity of their mind. Having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. For they, being past feeling, have given themselves up to lust to work all cleanness with greediness. Our brother touched upon in the breaking of bread service the definition of love today. God's love doesn't do that. There is agape love and there's phileo love. Agape love is the will, the love that says, I will love. Phileo says, I want to love. It's emotional. And God, of course, has both of them. But because we are created in his image, we too have that. a love for God. The world today has no love for God. In fact, it's getting worse and worse. Remember the pastor in Toronto? It's in the courts right now, preaching on the street corner. It happened to be in the LGBT community. And they took him, the victim, and they've dragged him to court. And it's going on even right now. For preaching. And he didn't say anything that except spoke of God's love. And yet it was an offense. And now he's facing the courts. We are in days where man, the world, cannot tolerate God, the name of Christ. What are we to be? We are to be holy. We are to be holy because we are created in holiness. Verse 22 of Ephesians 4. For you ought to put off the old man according to your way of living before, who is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And who can do that? Only Christ can do that. How is it done? Through his word, through the Holy Spirit, through one another, as we challenge and exhort one another. Verse 24, and you should put on the new man who, according to God, was created in righteousness and true holiness. The new man, recreated. Behold, when we are in Christ, all things are new. All things become new. And that new man, when Christ comes into your life, is created in righteousness and true holiness. But there's also another thing, isn't it? In whose image were we created? But not in the image of God? And God is holy, isn't he? Therefore, verse 25, putting away lying, let each man speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be not angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him who steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the things which is good, so that he may have something to give to him who needs. Let not any filthy word go out of your mouth, but if any is good to building up in respect of need, that it may give grace to the ones hearing. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom we are sealed unto till the day of redemption. And then it says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and tumult and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. If that's the standard, forgiving one another as Christ forgave us, I'd say, wow. He made us new. He created us. He created the new you and me in righteousness and holiness. We could go into some of these other aspects, but let's go on to the next one. We are possessed by holiness in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning at verse 11. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 11. For any other foundation can no one lay that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. And if anyone builds on this foundation, which is Christ, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, each one's work shall be revealed, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try each one's work as to what it is. If anyone's work which he builds remains, he shall receive a reward. If anyone's work shall be burned up, he shall suffer loss, but he shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God shall destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, which you are. Let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you seems to be wise in this world, and let him become a fool so that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God, for it is written, he takes the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. You know, it saddens me that some of these so-called TV evangelists and what they believe, that Jesus is a way. There's other things. And if you look into it, they're false teachers. You know, it saddens me to see a lot of these big, mega churches. They're built on the seed principle. If you sow this much, God will increase you so much. But there's principles in God's word. They avoid the fact that we are to be holy, consecrated to the Lord. The blood. Oh, the devil delights. He says, we're not to be deceived by him. Give no place to him. But it seems like when people are not in the Word of God, they become easily deceived or believe a lie. And so it is incumbent upon us to be renewed in our minds. To be renewed in our minds and to build upon the foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ, not someone out there, and think that our works are going to do us any good. Oh, mind you, we do, and it's necessary that herein is my Father glorified. It says that ye bear much fruit. And that fruit is not only by honoring and believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, but by fulfilling his commands, and there's many commands that ask us to do. We are to go out into the world and preach the gospel. Not a gospel, not someone else's gospel, but what the scriptures teach. And it is important for us to live as the scripture exhorts, but we live it as a result of our love for the Lord and what he has done for us and what God has done for us. And that living out of our lives is part of that holiness that God desires. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Are we to forgive our enemies? Yes. Are we to give to the needy? To bless? Yes. A lot of things. A lot of things that are indicative of God working in us for his pleasure, which is that holiness for him. For him and for his glory. You know, that's the only time in scripture it says, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So we've looked at the holiness of the believer. We are elected to, we are called to, we are created in, and we are possessed by. Just want to read a quote from F.E. Marsh. I don't really know who he is, but I found it interesting. We have no inherent holiness. We are holy as we are possessed by the Holy Presence. We are holy in his holiness, loving in his love, strong in his strength, tender in his tenderness, patient in his patience, calm in his peace, and consecrated in His consecration. How should holiness, or how should we live holy, and how shall it be exemplified in our lives? Well, the scriptures refers to at least three ways in which this occurs. First of all, in our bodies. We already have read that ye are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you. If anyone defiles the temple of God, God shall destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, which you are. And in Romans chapter 3, beginning at verse 13, here's what it says. Do not yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but yield yourselves to God as one alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. Recently I heard someone say, and it just sort of hit home to me. You know, we hear a lot about legalism among in certain Christian circles and that. And I think there's a time in our lives where we need to learn the things that we should not do in our Christian living, especially as a person coming out of the world. So in that sense, it is the don'ts in life. And a lot of these people say Christianity is all about don'ts. You can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do that, you can't do that. Well, in some sense, that's true. But of course, our motivation is different. Because it's not the can'ts in life, it is the won'ts. I won't do that. I won't do that. Why? Because Christ liveth in me. Not because you can't do them, it's because you won't do them. And that transfers from through that love, through that process of sanctification. Verse 15 of chapter 6 in Romans. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law but under grace? Let it not be. Do you not know that to whom ye yield yourselves as slaves for obedience, you are slaves to him whom you obey, whether it is of sin to death or of obedience to righteousness? Sin to death, obedience to righteousness. But thanks be to our God that you were the slaves of sin, that's the past, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. Now here it is. You were delivered from something, right? We were delivered from sin, from eternal punishment, but we are also delivered to something. Courier services do that all the time. They're always delivering to that parcel. But that gift that we have received has delivered us to God through Christ. Verse 18, then being made free from sin, you became the slaves of righteousness. Does a slave have any rights? No. No. We were bought with a price. We are not our own. If we are Christ's, what does God expect from us? Not only in our thinking, but in our living. He expects holiness. I'm far from that. And I know we all are. But I think sometimes we need to raise the bar. We need to raise the bar. Verse 18, then being made free from sin, you became the slaves of righteousness. I speak in the manner of men because of the weakness of your flesh. And see, Paul knew he had to remind the believers there too, because of the weakness of their flesh, the weakness of our flesh, we need to be reminded. For as you have yielded your members of slaves to uncleanness and to the lawless acts unto unlawless act, even so now yield your members as slaves to righteousness unto, what's the word? Holiness. Yield your members as slaves of righteousness unto holiness. You know, we don't really have slaves anymore, although in some sense we do, and it's a very derogatory term. But remember the slave that when the master got him, in the scriptures, it tells a story, and the master would give him a wife of one of his other servants, and then that slave and the maid who was a slave would have children. And after 7 years, the man, the slave, was allowed to go free. And he had a choice to make. He had a choice to make. Do I leave my wife whom I love and my children whom I love and go away? His wife and his children could not come with him. They were the master's. And then he went to the master and he says, I don't want my freedom. And so what did the master do? He took him over to the doorpost and he took an awl and he put a hole in his ear. Say, you are mine forever. You have forfeited your freedom. Now you're mine. Now the master was probably a good master. What identifies us as slaves of righteousness? We don't necessarily have a hole in the ear. But is it our manner of living? Our manner of speaking? Our countenance, whatever it is? Slaves unto righteousness, unto holiness. Verse 20, Romans 6, for when you were the slaves of sin, you were free from righteousness. What fruit did you have then in those things of which you were now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, aren't you glad for that? But now, being made free from sin and having become slaves to God, you have your fruit to holiness. And the end is what? Everlasting life. And then we have that verse, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's the first one, through our bodies. Secondly, in our manner of life, we can exemplify holiness. In 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning at verse 3. 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who, according to his great mercy, has regenerated us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Regeneration. Being a plumber, I know what that's all about, especially in a water softener. What do they do? 2 o'clock in the morning. They get rid of the hardness of the water. They regenerate. There's an exchange going on in there. I could describe it to you, but I'm not going to. But believe me, the hardness goes down the drain, the salt clings to the zeolite, and you get soft water again. Something exchanged in our being. Of course, it was his great mercy that regenerated us through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He became alive again. To what? An inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, unfading, reserved in heaven for you. How? By the power of God. Having been kept through faith to a salvation ready to be revealed at the last time. Our life here is but a vapor. We're looking ahead at eternity. 10,000 years, we've just begun. This is such a brief moment in your and in my life. And for a lot of people in the world, this is it. This is it. But you know, somehow deep down, I think that they would know that it's not really this is it. And so we're here in preparation for what is to come. And God is preparing you, he's preparing me for eternity. And sometimes down here the lessons aren't easy, are they? But they're necessary. Whom he loveth, he chasteneth. And so we must get a hold of the fact that we are not our own. And our life down here is hid with Christ in God. And we are to bless him, Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. And that holiness that he expects of us through our bodies and through our manner of life must come about. By the power of God. Verse 6, in which you greatly rejoice yet a little while, if need be, grieving in manifold temptations. And of course we do. We're not without temptation, but God makes a way of escape. So that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than that of gold that perishes, but being proven through fire, might be found to what? Here it is, to the praise and honor and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And that's going to come. When the church is caught up, will it be to the praise and honor and glory of the one, the King of Kings, who is coming back again? We need to raise the bar. Eight. Whom having not seen, you love. In whom having not yet seen, but believing in him, you exult with unspeakable joy, having been glorified. As we've gathered around the emblems this morning, we have celebrated the Lord Jesus Christ and honored him. Because we do this until he comes. We don't see him, yet we love him. We don't see him, but we believe in him. Do we exalt with unspeakable joy? Because we have already been glorified. Scripture says we are seated with him in the heavenlies. You're already there. And by faith. And if we're already there, how should we ought to live? Verse 9, obtaining the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Verse 10, about which salvation the prophets sought out and searched out, prophesying concerning the grace for you, searching for what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ made clear within them, testifying beforehand of the sufferings of Christ and the glories that should follow. As much as people's thought of hell, I'm just going to share this again. Ronnie Hawkins, some of you might know him, he was a country western rock singer. I met him at Stony Lake, and he sold his place, and we got a few things from him through our neighbor lady. And as he was sitting in the car, I said, Ronnie, I said, have you made sure of your eternal destiny? And I said, have you ever heard of John 3:16? And he told me he went to church in Fayetteville, Arkansas, and a bunch of stuff. But then he said, yep, he says, a lot of my friends are already there. He says, we're going to have a great big party, he says. But it's a separate, I can't imagine the torments of hell. Even Lazarus said one drop of water, one drop, and he couldn't get it. Heard a sermon recently on what is hell like. If we really got a hold of what it was like, we might even share it more so that others would come to the Savior. Verse 11, searching of what, or for what, or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ made clear within them, testifying beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that should follow. To them it was revealed, and not to themselves, but to us. They ministered the things which are now reported to you by those who have preached the gospel to you in the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Remember that song, Angels Never Knew the Joy That Was Mine? They can't sing Amazing Grace because they were not saved. Verse 13, therefore gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, perfectly hope for the grace being brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts of your ignorance, but according to the Holy One who has called you, you also become holy in all conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. The last one, we need to be holy in our fruitfulness. In John chapter 15, verses 1 to 8, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every one that bears fruit, he prunes it, so that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken to you. This is the words of Christ. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it remains in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done for you. And I've quoted this verse before. And this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So you shall be my disciples. I exhort you, myself, stick to the vine. Abide in the vine. Allow God to work in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And may he produce holiness in our lives on a daily basis. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, your word is the one that imparts life. For Father, would you impart that life that you would want in us to will and to do according to your good pleasure? Father, I know I need it, probably more than anybody. And so, Father, we yield ourselves to you and to your Holy Spirit. And thank you that you have said that if we ask anything in your name, you will do it. James chapter 1 says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who abradeth not and giveth liberally. Lord, show us what to do and how to do it, what to say and when to say it. Father, so that we would be holy for you. Thank you, Lord, that you see us, not as we are, but through Christ. And so it is through his wonderful name that we ask these things. In Jesus' name, amen.